Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show. I have some very special guests here in our office today. And actually, there's a fun meeting going on as we speak. It's all about myopia. And I think that many of you probably have been at this meeting. So kind of cool that you got to see the team there. But what we want to talk about today with Dr. Jackson Lau and Dr. Randy Kojima. Did I say it right? I did. Oh my gosh. So you guys know I stress about names. They know because I practice even on the show. But what I'm excited about with both of them is that they are experts in this field. And honestly, I'm a little nervous about having them here because I don't have any idea the knowledge base. I don't have any of that that they have. But what's really cool about both of them, and thank you, by the way, for being here, is that Dr. Jackson Lau is Director of Professional Affairs at Euclid Vision Corporation, and Randy is an internationally recognized expert in corneal topography. You guys know that. I don't even need to tell you. Orthokeratology and scleral lens design. So for any of my patients that are listening to this, what this means is I have the best of the best in my house today, and I'm super excited about that. So here's the other interesting thing about today. Normally, you know I'm in charge. And I run the show, and I ask the questions, and I put people on the spot. But guess what we're doing today? I'm going to turn it over to Jackson. He's going to take over, and he's going to talk to us about not only what I do in the practice, but also he's going to put Randy on the spot and get him to answer questions about technology. And honestly, I just know you're going to have a great time. So, Jackson, take it away.
Thank you, Dr. Jasper. So I'm so excited to be here. Thank you very much. Today, we're going to be focusing on your experience with the MedMont Meridia Pro, an instrument known for its gold standard corneal topography. It's got dry eye capabilities like myopography, and it's got anterior segment imaging. So we want to touch on how this has hopefully shaped and influenced your practice, your staff, workflow, your own workflow, perhaps how it's improved patient outcomes and, you know, what kind of practice strategies you've employed. And then, of course, Randy, every time I talk to you, I'm always learning about new things about the MedMont. So hoping to pick your brain on some of the new technology that's coming out. So without further ado, I wanted to ask you some questions on what was your initial interest in, you know, bringing MedMont into your practice, Dr. Jasper?
You know, as I think about technology for the practice, and Randy, you have honestly been a big influence on my choice of wanting to have MedMont in my practice. I didn't ever tell you guys this, but I've wanted a MedMont topographer my entire life in optometry. I mean, I think everybody really believes it's the best for orthokeratology. I think that everybody knows that the technology matters a lot when you're putting a patient into incredible lenses that, like we are, to prevent the progression of myopia. But what held me back was that I already had a topographer, and I couldn't get it straight in my head that it was okay that I had one. I needed this one for what I'm doing. And so what I think changed for me was understanding that myopia is becoming so prevalent, and the kids that come into my practice, it's heartbreaking to see them progress. And so as more patients are coming in with myopia, I determined it was time. I needed to have the best technology. So MedMont, which is one of your companies as well, you're basically three companies in one. MedMont's the technology which helps me to create a Euclid orthokeratology lens so that I can have the products I need as well as the technology. So honestly, they go hand in hand. That's the way I think I've always thought of it, as I think most doctors do. It just took me a while to realize that I needed to just get it done. And now that I've had it, Jackson, now that I have my MedMont, I mean, it's just incredible. But we're going to get there in a minute.
Awesome. So, Randy, this question's for you. You've always told me that when you teach at the Pacific University, using an instrument like the MedMont has even somehow replaced, let's say, slit lamps for some of the teaching labs. And I thought that was a crazy statement when you told me, but then when I started looking at the technology, looking at the images, I was like, wow, this is actually really cool. Because I remember when I was in school, not too long ago, but a while ago, we were still using teaching tubes, and I'm sure they do today. And I would always say, yeah, I think I see what you're seeing, but I wasn't really sure. But I feel like with the technology that we have now with the slit lamp imaging, anterior segment cameras that we have, it's probably really powerful for your teaching. So wondering if you can elaborate on that, but also share with the eye care practitioners out there, beyond teaching, how are doctors utilizing this for their daily practice? Is it helpful for, I'm imagining, for consultations with lab manufacturers? Just tell us how you imagine that helps.
Yeah, I mean, so much of our technology today, we use a computer relative to some kind of imaging instrument, and the MedMon is one of them, where we've got the instrument connected up to a PC. The PC easily connects up to a monitor, or in the case of the school, it's connected to the digital projector. Everybody sees what's going on. Whatever we see, you know, the entire class is seeing, which is obviously a very powerful thing, something that we can so easily do for the students. But you could imagine, you know, here in your office,
right,
to educate your interns, to educate your staff, your young doctors, and then maybe most importantly, to educate the patients, that it can be up on the monitor and you can be showing,
I love it.
What it is that you want. You want them to understand.
That's awesome. So back to you, Dr. Jasper. So you've had the MedMon Meridia Pro in your office for probably about 6 months by now. Do you recall what your expectations were? I'm sure, you know, MedMon's been in your radar based on what you said earlier. So do you recall what your expectations were and perhaps how that might have changed over the last 6 months, having gone through it, having seen your staff use it, having used it yourself?
Right. I think what I expected from MedMon was that it was amazing, accurate, that repeatable. It was the best technology for what it does, which all I thought that it did in the old days was topography. But what surprised me is not only the other things that the technology does, which we'll get into in a minute, but that it's actually very user-friendly. I don't want to say easy, because that makes the technology seem like it's not high-tech. Mm-hmm. But really what we want in a practice is we want technology that we can learn how to use quickly, that is accurate for our patients, and ends up helping me get to that solution for my patients, which in this case, when using it for orthokeratology, is helping to prevent the progression of myopia. And so I think a lot of patients maybe that are listening even to this, they don't know that not every office is the same. If I was a patient and I knew as a patient what MedMon technology could do, I'd want to go to a practice that had MedMon technology.
You know, I think you said such a powerful thing both here and in your previous comment, that in orthokeratology, it's a very different animal than almost anything else you do in contact lenses, in optometry, and having the right tool is so important with, you know, a device that needs to be, the contact lens needs to be micron accurate, you know, not grossly fitting. It needs to be uber accurate. So, you know, having the right tool for this specialty is so important.
I think, Randy, too, you made me remember the other thing that really stands out to me. I think that many doctors like me have hesitated to even start utilizing orthokeratology because they think it's too difficult, too complicated. And in a sense, it was in the old days. But now what MedMon has done for us, it has brought the ability to actually be an expert in the field of orthokeratology to the ordinary practice like mine and make us extraordinary. And I think for me, I don't know that doctors really understand sometimes how detailed, and I know you smile because you had a lot to do with the technology, and I love watching you even use the instrument and teach people. But if they knew the detail that they can get with just a technology that's easy to use, my staff learned how to use it in, I think, 2 minutes or less. It's that quick. It's just the same as any other technology in the sense of user-friendly. And then to be able to take the results and design a lens that's going to help keep a child from progressing with myopia, which is going to change their lives. I mean, that's incredible.
And connected to a design like the Emerald design, all of Euclid's family of lenses, you have a ability to communicate all of this great data to build a lens so easily for the the practice. I mean, Euclid's better than any other company built a framework where a practitioner can be very neophyte to orthokeratology, but still get a very accurate fitting lens.
That's great. So I'm probably known as the myopia guy within our company, but curious, in case you've had any experience with this on the irregular cornea side yet, has the corneal topography technology influenced or changed any of the ways you practice for irregular cornea patients or irregular astigmatism patients, whether it's keratoconus, post-surgical, you know, either post-refractive ectasia, anything like that have you encountered recently?
A lot of big words that Jackson just said, and I love that because that helps even patients to understand, but we as doctors too, what we don't want is ever to miss something that could be vision threatening for a patient. And so in my mind, that goes back to the first question you asked me, Jackson, which is why should I have a MedMont topographer? And I know we should stop calling it a topographer because it's more than just a topographer. So I'm sorry, but you know, that's what we're used to from the past. But I think the thing that really stands out is I don't want to be that doctor that missed something. And my practice is known for the fact that patients are going to show up here. They're going to have everything that we need to do for them done quickly, efficiently. And we're going to make sure that we can utilize that information to be able to determine whether or not they have a problem that needs to be dealt with. So yes, all of those big words, we want to make sure none of those things are something that are present in our patient. And if they are, we want to take care of it quickly. There's lots of treatments for a lot of those things now that we never had before.
Got it. And so Randy, every time I talk to you, you almost teach me one new feature about the MedMont.
I love that.
Or let's focus on the topography for a second. Is there one or two lesser known tip that you feel like you can share to the rest of the world, because I know there's a lot of eye care practitioners listening to this. Is there one or two tips that you feel might be really useful or helpful for them to know?
Excuse me. There are so many little things that a topographer can do for you in practice, but passion-wise, I would have to say using the composite map is something that it's maybe not lesser known, but it's such a powerful tool because it gives you the ability to image all over the cornea and basically build 100% of your understanding of eye shape, eye depth, eye power, all of those things. So the composite map, I think, is so critical to any user's ability to get the most out of their corneal topographer. Because if you're fitting a large contact lens like an ortho-K or a scleral, you want as much data as you can possibly have. So that, I think, the composite would be one of them. And then the other piece is, once you have good quality topography, you can build any lens from it. So whether it's a scleral, an ortho-K, even a soft lens, you know, building something truly custom can be done from, you know, good corneal topography data.
Great. So Dr. Jasper, I understand that you actually have patients who listen in on your podcast. I just recently learned that today. So I also understand you have a large let's call it dry eye or ocular surface disease part of your practice, and maybe an aesthetic part of your practice. Would you mind sharing, you know, now that you have this technology in your office, are there, you know, advantages to having some of that, let's say, anterior segment camera imaging? So basically really good imaging of the eyes and the treatment that we're doing for your patients. Anything that you can share?
Well, I hinted at the fact that the MedMont is more than a topographer now. And so now we're going to let that information out. For anybody who didn't know that, you have options when you buy MedMont technology. So what's really cool is my MedMont technology allows me to not only capture topography, but video. Randy, I'll never forget you showing me some case examples with the video, and I was just blown away. The quality of the imaging is incredible. I can take anterior segment images. I can do mibography. I can also look at lids, lashes, of course. You can have a patient look down, image the upper lashes because we have to make sure there's no Demodex. I mean, you can have all of that, which is what we do in our office. My team is so amazing. They will capture all of that information for me so that I can review it with a patient in the exam room. And if they have dry eye disease, we're able to detect the reason, the cause, the problem, and then come up with solutions for them. Yeah, it's great.
Not to put you on the spot again, but like, how does that image quality compare to some of the other instruments that you might have in the office? Is it pretty on par?
It's probably better than other technologies I've had. I can tell you what's interesting is I've actually gone through more anterior segment imaging devices than I have anything else. And it's because sometimes when you buy anterior segment imaging as a solo device, the people that make it tend to let it go obsolete. So now you've bought a piece of technology that you can't use because the software's not been updated. So, I mean, I'm at the point now where I just believe that having it in a technology like the MedMont is so helpful, not only for workflow. My patients don't want to be stuck here all day. The quality's amazing. And I know that you guys are going to stay taking care of us and keeping it updated, which is important too.
Now, this question's for you, Randy. I think you and I have worked extensively with some educators and experts like, let's say, Dr. Maria Liu, who she has given a really brutally honest testimonial in a very favorable, let's say, opinion about the MedMont Meridia. So essentially, she's like, I basically bought three of these instruments, whether it's for her research or for her teaching clinics. And it actually blew me away. And I think when you shared the optics with me, you know, the first time we got to work together, I was actually really amazed. I can never remember if it's depth of field, depth of focus, all that stuff is just way in the back of my brain from the schooling days. But are you able to elaborate a little bit more on the why the optics of the MedMont system is so powerful?
Yeah, sure. I think it's such an interesting conversation because I'm sitting here thinking about corneal topography and a corneal topographer was always just that, and
right.
That's all it did was give you simulated K's and maybe some analysis of what the eye shape was. But now it's a tool to provide, you know, white light assessment like a slit lamp, and do fluorescein assessment with your contact lenses, do mybography for dry eye analysis. So yeah, that topographer is not just a topographer anymore, at least relative to the Meridia. As far as accuracy goes, what MedMont has done a very good job of is the tiny little hole that they have in the back of the Placido is where the camera is, and they've placed a very high resolution camera there that will allow for images and video. So part of it is the camera, the fact that it's such a high resolution piece, but the other piece is that there are two illumination targets are on either side of the cone. So you get this beautiful illumination of the entire field, whether it's the fluorescein capture, the white light, or the mybography, to give you, you know, fabulous perspective, not just, you know, the detail, but also just illuminating the big picture as well.
Right.
So I was right. It is amazing. I love that Randy tells us why, because all I know when I use it, like you said, Jackson, is this is incredible. I don't know what y'all did, but keep up the good work.
Yeah. Anything Randy says, I believe, because he says it so nicely. So back to you, Dr. Jasper. Dry eye is ginormous in the world, but also in the eye space, obviously. Sure. We're hearing more and more about dry eye treatments every single day. I know we've said the word mybography multiple times already. Having the ability to image those oil glands that are so critical for, you know, everyday people, let alone, you know, contact lens users. So curious if you can share a little bit more about how having this mybography tool has been able to help your dry eye patients, your dry eye clinic, improve patient care, whatever you've noticed.
I think many times in the old days, I've been doing this for now 30 years, maybe more, David keeps me honest, but it's been a long time. And so I've been able to see as time has gone by that our ability to take care of our dry eye patients has changed tremendously because of the fact that technology is out there that helps us. I can look at a patient's lid and I can see a little bit, but you can't see what you can see with mybography. And so there was a day when we thought that patients had dry eyes simply because their tears were evaporating, and that was the end of the story, and all you can do is put in artificial tears. Mm-hmm. Then it became this game of which tear is the best. But what we now know is that if we have a better image of the eye, so not only that, as Randy said, we have the white light so we can see redness, We can look at tear film. We can do a tear film analysis. We can look to see what that tear film looks like, but then we can see how much of a tear film the patient has, the quality of it. Then we can look at those meibomian glands to see if they are missing, if they are just not as many as there should be, and to see what the quality is of that oil that's in their tears. So I love the ability to image the meibomian glands with the MedMont, what used to be just a topographer. See how it comes out of my mouth? I can't even help it. And that's all it used to be. But now to be able to have a patient sit down and be able to take all these images, I can not only have what I need as far as topography to design and build a lens for them, a contact lens, but be able to look to see if that contact lens is going to be a problem because they also have dry eye. So meibomian gland imaging, I think everybody wants to have that in their practice. I think that many people have no idea that they can buy MedMont technology that allows them to take that image.
Just a quick follow-up question to that. Have you noticed any changes in patient acceptance of either their condition or your treatment recommendations, or let's say they're making progress or whether they're not making progress? Have you noticed any changes in that as having that technology now?
Having MedMont technology that allows me to look at my meibomian glands, I think what's really cool about that is it allows me to show patients exactly what's happening in their eye. And it used to be this whole conversation, which was very complicated, believe it or not, of you have glands in your lids that flow vertically. So this was what I did all the time. They flow vertically. They release oil behind the lashes. And then I wondered, am I even making any sense? I don't know if this does to patients. Now to have technology, so I can just open up a picture on the screen in the exam room and I show them what it looks like. And they immediately are like, oh, okay. So what affects that and how do I fix it? Absolutely. It's a new conversation and it makes me super excited to honestly to be in practice because I can see patients and I can take care of them. I can diagnose them and treat them and have all this done in just a few minutes.
Great. And then to you, Randy, as the technology guy, similar question, but on the dry eye part and the functionality of, let's say, the MedMont, whether it's meibography or tear film analysis. Any lesser known things that you can actually do? Because again, you're always teaching me new features and things that you can do with the technology. Anything that you might want to share with the audience?
Yeah, again, the corneal topographer isn't just a corneal topographer. One of the odd things that it does is it reflects off the tear film. And we always think of capturing topography, but we're actually capturing the reflection off the tear film. So if the tear film is poor, that can be picked up by that placebo reflection. So that's a very powerful thing because it gives us an ability to assess the quality of the tear film, but then maybe as importantly, especially in the wake of DEWS 2 and DEWS 3 now, we need to do non-invasive dry eye, a non-invasive tear film breakup time, right? So not having dye in the eye, not altering the
That's good.
The tear film surface, and having that automated for us, it makes it much easier and the whole process more accurate too, because again, we're not putting in fluorescein and creating an artificial response.
Great.
That's actually a good point though that Randy made. In the old days, we would look at DEWS 2 and we would say, oh yeah, that non-invasive tear breakup time, that's nothing we're ever going to do in our office. That's for researchers. I mean, it's crazy to think that now we have the ability to bring research into practice and then use the results from it to be able to change our patients' lives.
And I love the fact, and this is a segue to more of the practice management side of things on how staff can help you with this.
Right.
I think that it's amazing that your staff can now help you do non-invasive tear breakup time, for example.
Yes.
Before you even enter the room, right? So I want to jump into a little bit more of a practice management conversation, if you don't mind. Since it was relatively recent for you, Dr. Jasper, how was the onboarding process for those in the audience who might be thinking, well, you know, is it complicated? Is there a lot of
right.
stuff I have to get, you know, networked? You know, what's the onboarding process like with the MedMont system?
You know, that's something else that has changed over time, right? Think about our kids and the last technology they were given to us. They didn't sit there and let that box sit in the corner and wait for someone to come in and open it and set it up for them. You know, everything now is different. There's YouTube videos that help you to know what to do. We're used to that. I mean, I had this horrible thought the other day. I was on an airplane and somebody needed medical care. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't remember my CPR. And then I thought, oh, but I can YouTube it and I can figure it out really quick. And, you know, that's what we do. We have everything right there in our hands. So let me tell you how this went. My box showed up and it was sitting there and I thought, there's no way. I'm not waiting for somebody to open this. I'm sure I can do this myself. And sure enough, I opened it up. It had great instructions. There was a YouTube video. And I was able to, David and I put that thing on the stand, put it together, had it up and running just like that. I don't think it even took us 5 minutes. It was crazy, incredible, and easy. So somebody, maybe it was Randy, has gone through this step by step and figured everything out, made the actual, what is it called when you put something together?
The
install. Yeah. The pieces, the parts, the, which comes first, 1, 2, 3. I mean, I think it's maybe 5 steps and then we were ready to go. So, I mean, it's not that I don't want you guys there to help me, but I don't think that it's as needed anymore. And isn't that a good thing?
I think it's a great thing. So essentially we made it as easy as putting together IKEA furniture.
Something like that. Okay, it was pretty straightforward. So yeah, we had our box delivered. Yep. David and I opened it up. We set it up. We put it on the table. We got it hooked up to internet. We were ready to go. And I think the thing that I forgot to bring up earlier, so you just heard we connect it to internet. Mm-hmm. Why would we even need that, right? It's a box. It does what it does. It doesn't need internet. Well, the beauty of having the connection is that when I collect the data, Randy already said, you can collect the data, the information that it collects, and then you can send it directly to Euclid and you guys can help me design a lens. I don't even have to save it, go to my desktop, open it up, send it. It's all that simple. So, I mean, again, I can't thank you guys enough. And maybe it was okay that I waited this long to get mine because now I have all these other features and benefits.
Another question on the sort of install and onboarding, but this is more staff related and technician related. I know whenever in our clinic, whenever we bring in new pieces of equipment and technology, I think the doctors are usually very excited, but right. Then sometimes the staff are a little bit more hesitant because it's another thing that they have to sort of figure out or learn. Curious if you had any experiences to share within your staff and your office as you brought this instrument on.
I think the big deal with my team that, and the one thing that makes everything easier is if they know what the purpose is of the tests that they're actually doing for me. So I love for them to actually know this is the data you're collecting. This is how we're going to use it. This is what it looks like in the clinic, meaning in the exam room when we open it and talk through it. And so we always want them to sit as a patient. They need to know what it's like. They need to know what it feels like. And they need to know what it looks like. So they become a patient first. They get to see their test results. And honestly, once you go through that and they see the impact it can have on even my care for them, it helps them to be a lot more accepting of it. But we also try to move it into our workflow so that it makes sense. I don't want it to be a burden. And think about it. If you bring in MedMont technology and you have all this capability, you can actually streamline things so that they're going to save time somewhere else. And that's what we found to be the case. And they learned really fast too. Yeah. It's literally step behind the machine, learn what all the pictures mean, and what, you know, the buttons to push, like I said before, very similar to other pieces of technology that they have in the practice. And then we're good to go.
They only really need to focus, right? That's all
good point.
They need. And if you're telling them what to focus on, then whether it's lid margin or you want to see the conjunctival whiteness or whatever that is, that's a click of the button and they only need to focus.
It's that fast.
Yeah, on the topic of workflow, I think, Randy, you've shared that there are some really prolific MedMont users, you know, over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years with the latest imaging. For example, Dr. Aaron Wolf out in Texas. Is there any additional advice that you might share? I've met Dr. Wolf. He's an amazing guy. He literally images everything. But do you know any other, you know, any other recommendations or advice for for people who might be thinking about incorporating this type of equipment into their own daily workflows?
I think what April had mentioned, and that's involve the staff as much as possible to help make you more efficient in your exam room, I think that's a big deal, that it's so much of that imaging can go on in that pretest room, and that can get to the doctor's office. So when the patient gets to you, you're there with them, you can use that time as both education and instruction and make the right decisions. So I think imaging as much as you can using your staff, I think, is a very valuable piece.
Great.
We started even to getting to the point where I told the team, hey, if you see something on their eye that you know I'm going to want to have a picture of, just go put them behind the technology and capture it. And our red eye patients, even as long as they're not like red and goopy down their face, I will tell them, go take a picture and do that before you bring them to me, because I want them to see, I want the patient to know what's going on too.
That was going to be my next question. I'm assuming patient response to having this new technology and imaging has been very positive. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time my patients come into the office, honestly, every year they expect me to have something new. And so that is definitely a challenge. Sometimes it's good, though, because I just have technology that got upgraded. So it doesn't have to be a new box. It doesn't have to be a new piece of equipment. But they know that we're actively looking for ways we can bring value to them. And this definitely does that. Anything where you can show a patient what's going on and then explain to them how they can have an impact on their health is really incredible.
And then one more related question to workflow. I've heard of many offices, including our office, where we've incorporated mammography as part of the standard workup. And, you know, we've probably seen more and more literature on the association between dry eye and myopia. You know, not sure if there's a causation there, but there's definitely an association, especially now in this digital age where, you know, kids of all ages, adults of all ages are just spending lots of time on their devices. So, Dr. Jasper, curious if you have any thoughts on potentially, you know, should this be more of a standard workflow where we're just trying to image as many, you know, meibomian glands as possible so we can see progression over time? I think that makes sense to me, but just curious if you have any thoughts on that.
You know, you've made me think about it here and now, because it has been our standard process that anybody that came in that wears contact lenses or that is over 40, we already do imaging for dry eye disease. But you know, thinking about mammography and our kids and the fact that they're on digital devices and they're not blinking as much, I really think you're right. There's something to that. I mean, I will tell a story. My son won't mind. He's 24 now, 23. And I'll tell you what, he was on Accutane as a kid, so that didn't help. That definitely causes meibomian gland challenges. But he also was like any other kid. He was on digital devices and played video games. And I remember when he was young, I'd come out of the room. I don't think he was on a video game for more than 20 minutes. And I'd come out and look at him, and his eyes were just bloodshot. And I would be like, what are you doing? You're not even blinking. And that is true. That's what happens. And this is all of our children. And so knowing now what technology I have available, back then I had him come in. We did heat treatments. We expressed the meibomian glands, but I didn't have technology. And so having the technology, I do believe, Jackson, we are going to see a shift. We're going to see a change for those of us that have the technology. Can you imagine as a parent being able to know and have your doctor tell you what's going on with your kids and then being able to walk through what can we do different? I'm not going to tell them to get off the digital devices, but I can at least advise them in other ways. Do you agree, Randy?
I was just going to say, and you can now digitally document the changes over time. If you were able to improve that meibomian gland function, you can very visually see that over time.
I love it. I mean, here, you just taught me that on the podcast. That's what I'm going to do from now on.
Great. So, Randy, one thing that I've heard from many doctors over the years is that they have, let's say they bought a MedMont 20 plus years ago and it refuses to die. And I believe you've probably been a part of MedMont for some time. I don't want to date you, but you've probably, you know, seen the evolution of the MedMont instrument. And I'm curious if you can share, maybe it's redundant with everything we've already discussed. Are there like any top, you know, advancements in the technology that you felt like, wow, this was the game changer that really made an improvement in patients' lives, patients' eyes, you know, things like that?
relative to the current technology.
Or you may be willing to share a sneak peek on some of the newest technology that's coming out, whichever direction you want to choose to go.
Yeah, having the imaging capabilities with your MedMon has been a huge advance. I think, you know, the ability for, let's say, April to have an ortho-K patient and take the topographies, take the images of the lenses on eye, be able to communicate that to the lab for a consultation, I think has been a very powerful thing. Though the one missing piece is the MedMon is a very good contact lens device, but it didn't have scleral topography. We estimated the scleral depth, but we didn't actually have imaging. And so in the newest version of MedMont called the Vantage, it now has scleral topography. So you have placebo corneal topography, highly accurate. Then you have all the imaging capabilities, the white light, the fluorescein or cobalt, and the infrared. And now added to that, the ability to image the sclera. And, you know, that's uber helpful because now we have an understanding of should that initial diagnostic lens be symmetric? Should it be toric? Should it be asymmetric? And then the next step is what depth of lens do we need? And then if we needed a freeform lens, what should that shape be? So, you know, you really have now everything you need relative to designing a contact lens in one device, and also an ability to image the lens on eye and be able to communicate that to the consultants if you needed some kind of modification. So pretty powerful.
Great. So this is going to be directed back to you, Dr. Jasper. As a very successful businesswoman and business person, for practitioners listening to this podcast, what are some considerations that they may need to look into or analyze from a, let's say, return on investment on these instruments? While it might be amazing to just buy every single toy that's out there, I know you have to run a business,
right,
and you have to make decisions on what's going to make sense for you, your practice, but also improve patient care. So I was hoping you could elaborate on things like, you know, are certain procedures that may be billable, let's say mm-hmm. some of these photos that we're taking, or perhaps like if having this extra amazing corneal topography is enhancing your ability to do myopia management with Ortho-K, how many more cases might you be able to get in a month, you know, right, to justify this instrument purchase? Because, you know, ultimately we want to offer the best patient care, but we, you know, at the same time, we want to make sure it makes sense from a owner standpoint to make sure you can, you know, pay off the machine, basically, right? So hoping you can elaborate on that.
I think when any of us look at what technology to buy, the old days of thinking and the old way of thinking was, what can I bill for? And even I was guilty of that. If I saw that I could have a device and it would bring value to my patients and I could bill for it, then I had everything I needed and it was a done deal. What changed over time for me is, yes, it's important to be able to bill. And so with the MedMont, you can bill for anterior segment photography. You definitely can use the topography to build your contact lenses. But I think the other thing you have to think about is, how fast can you capture the data, which MedMont checks the box there. How easy is it to use? Can you actually put it in your workflow and have it make a difference to your patients? And then the other thing too is, what can it do? How can it bring value to you in incorporating a new, what I call, pillar to your practice? So I talk about the five pillars to practice profitability. And my patients know that I tell them, I want you to come in, I want you to see me, I want to help you, but I want you then to help me too. It's not like I'm in practice for nothing. There's nothing wrong with being profitable. And I think when you look at MedMont technology, you look at everything it can do. I love what Randy said. Not only do you capture the data and you have the information then to be able to fit contact lenses, to go move into specialty contact lenses, to work your way into orthokeratology and have it not be complicated, but you also have all these images to show your patients so that you bring value to them and letting them see why they chose me and why they should continue to choose me in my practice.
I want to ask a question related to this. Historically, the MedMont, let's say, system has been very contact lens oriented. geared towards the specialists, those who are going to do the fancy lenses, those who are going to listen to Randy's lectures, you know, every hour and hope they can learn something. So nowadays, I feel as if the instrument is much more capable for the general optometrist who may not be a specialist. But, you know, right. If you're an optometrist, you're treating dry eyes. If you're an optometrist, you're probably going to image a conjunctival nevi, for example, right? So wanted to know if you agree with that statement, because I think that's something that I've heard, you know, and something that I think practitioners might want to maybe consider if they're no longer, or let's just say if they're trying to potentially increase a revenue stream in their office, for example, or if they want to expand services to patients who might benefit from other things. And if they haven't, you know, let's say done a contact lens residency, mm-hmm. for example, can they potentially still do some of the specialty contact lens work? And can it still be beneficial if they're more of a general optometrist as well?
I think the future of myopia control, in my opinion, and I sure hope I'm right, is that it is going to be something that is done more by the mainstream optometrists. So the general optometrists, and I pretty much know I'm right. And here's why I know I'm right, because it's an obligation. It is not something where it used to be, well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe my patients will appreciate it. Maybe the patients and the parents will believe me when I say it works. We're way past that. I mean, you guys know my dad was a 9-diopter myope. He's had cataract surgery since, and so now he's not a 9-diopter myope anymore. But I remember being in optometry school, like my daughter is now, and my dad was my first contact lens patient, and he came in, and I looked at his retinas, and he has posterior staphylomas in both eyes, and he has a visual potential of only 20/30. And I started crying, and I went to my preceptor, and I said, why did nobody stop this? And I had no idea at the time that there wasn't anything really anybody knew to do. Well, guess what? The times are different. It isn't okay anymore for any eye doctor to have a patient with myopia come in and not say something about the fact that you can stop this. And it could have been in the past that they didn't have the technology, so they couldn't fit the lenses. That's over. Those excuses are gone. We have technology. And if you wanted to use MedMont only to build your Ortho-K lens and work with Euclid lenses, then great. You're going to make a lot of money and you're going to change a lot of lives. But the fact that now we have imaging capability and you can take pictures of those red eye patients that come in, we all have those. So I can use it for everything. In addition, screening my patients for keratoconus and all those other big words that you said earlier, all those things that can actually cause them to have sight threatening problems. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to your question, Jackson, is MedMont technology now really something that is something that should be in every practice? And the answer is yes. And the one thing I think I didn't bring up, Randy alluded to it, is that it actually has, with that small aperture, am I using the right technology or the right term? It has some of the best, if not the best, measurements in the industry. So you can't go wrong with the lenses. So when you have the right measurements, creating the best lens is a given.
Well, and I think if we put aside the topic of specialty contact lenses, you're both practicing optometrists. How often does it happen that you're refracting somebody and their level of acuity is not achieving what you would expect, and you've checked out the retina, the crystalline lens, there's nothing to indicate that this quality of acuity should be this low?
And that's right.
A autorefractor, autokeratometer will not tell you what's going on with that anterior surface shape to understand that maybe there's the early signs of disease, as an example,
right,
that can't be seen in the slit lamp but could only be seen by topography.
I will never forget the first patient that I imaged that had pellucid degeneration, and I saw that, and I would have fought for probably a 30-minute window of time to try to get him to 20/20, and I would have never gotten there. But to be able to see the topography and know this is what I'm going to deal with, this is what's going on with the patient, I'll still try my darndest, but really they need a rigid lens, you know? So knowing before you even start down that path, you're right, Randy, is extremely valuable, time-saving. It's less stress on the patient. And there's probably patients I know, because they've been in my office, that have been to doctor after doctor after doctor, mm-hmm. with no answers, because they didn't have the technology that they could image this patient in 2 minutes or less. and be able to tell them before they even touch the ferropter what's going on.
All right. So I want to end with maybe one final question for you, Dr. Jasper. Since we have Randy here listening, and he is on the R&D team in terms of always thinking of new developments, right? He just shared a little bit about the latest version, which has scleral profilometry. But now that you've had, you know, quite a bit of experience with the technology, are there any areas of enhancements or things that you might refine or add or remove? You know, feel free to tell us, you know, if there are any warts, you know, because Randy's going to fix the problem. If there's anything you can think of, and if you don't, that's also fine. Just wondering if there's any future direction, because I know you're also a visionary in the, you know, entire optometric, you know, industry. So just wanted to put you on the spot there as well. Anything that you might want to, you know, tell Randy for enhancements?
So I'm going to give Randy some ideas, but only if he promises he'll say yes. All right, here we go. I want AI technology. So what I want is to take my images and have you have something in there that says, this is what I'm seeing. And so I want it to be able to help me be a better diagnostic doctor. So come up with a right diagnosis every time. And I think that it's definitely doable, don't you?
Yes.
Yay!
No, it's for sure. I mean, especially relative to corneal topography, being able to look at hundreds of images and make predictions on those is so easy for AI. And Ortho-K is a good example. Is the lens positioning where we want it to? Is it riding low? Is it riding high? Should it be modified? And is this a diseased eye? Is this not? You know, like all those things are just built for AI to look at the imaging. So yeah, I think very doable. Yes.
I love it. You thought I was going to say I want it to do five more things. And honestly, here's the deal. I've had people ask me that before. Mm. If I had the choice of having a piece of technology that could do five more things in addition to what my MedMont does, or have a piece of technology that's really, really good at the five things it does, I choose it to be really, really good at the five things it does. And I think that's one of the big mistakes people make when they're out there shopping for technology. Is they look for something that does a million things instead of looking for something that does everything it does the best in the business.
I think you said it best. So I really appreciate you allowing me to take over host duties today. I'll let you close off your own podcast if you'd like.
Well, I just want to say thank you to both of you. Thank you for letting us have this fun today. Thank you for the technology. Randy, keep inventing, keep developing. Get me my AI. And Jackson, you are the myopia king.
Thank you.